Radio check.
Loud and clear.
KSL Sports and KSL Podcast present Mode Push, an American view of F1, starting now.
One stop. Here's what you get with this Odyssey.
I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted.
I enjoy this so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Mode Push, an American view of F1, right here, KSL Sports, KSL Podcasts, Alex Keery, and of course, our other host, as usual, Dan Jimenez, on the program here with us. What's up, Dan?
I'm just waiting to hear the story, man. I'm so excited for this episode.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, this is great. It was not only an amazing race, but you got to be there. So I just want to hear. I want to hear all about it.
So this, now you know the tables, how the turntables, right?
That's
because
right.
This was you in Singapore last year, and I'm like, just tell me everything. But this was something different, right? I mean, this was the whole scenario hit different with from the announcement when Vegas was going to be hosting a race to the very end of it, where even today. You're having mixed feelings on how this thing went down, right? and yet at the same time, during the actual race itself, it was a dang good race. I think it was because I normally watch it. And I'm even there at the track, I was watching it, but with a totally different view of it because we were at the track. We were, you know, obviously taking it all in. We had actually amazing seats. And even then, I was like, what do you do when these guys go past you and they're down the road after 2.5 seconds and I don't see them anymore? Like, I was going, we actually have a really good view. Let me tell you how we got our view. Okay?
Yeah, I want to hear the story how you ended up there because that looks
Let me just
kind
of go. I'll go through sort of chronologically how everything went down. Okay, so I showed up. Carlos had flown in. Carlos Fortuna, our one of our producers at KSL News Radio, one of the guys who had one of the media credentials, who actually set it up. Like, and this is a guy who worked for NBC Sports when they were covering F1, and he's from Spain. And so he's done the winter testing stuff before. He's gone to the track in Barcelona. Fine. He gets in there and he goes, okay, here's what you got to do. Meet me over here. You got to pick up your credential here, even though I had all the emails of where to pick them up. So we have to go to the MGM Grand Convention Center to pick it up. Now, if you've never been to Vegas before, everything's huge.
MGM goes on forever.
And the MGM, just like all the major casinos, are go on for blocks, go on forever. I mean, it's not a normal size, so you're walking everywhere. So I get there, and I go, all right. At casinos, there are a lot of things, but what they are not is an expensive parking place, right? What's the parking at casinos?
Yeah,
it's free.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's always free. So you're like, awesome. Get me to the casino. Get me to the MGM, which is where the media credential pickup is. So you have to go pick up your credential first. So I'm driving in from town. So I go straight to the convention center parking. I go into the parking lot, wind up there, and then he goes, are you here for the event? I go, yeah, I'm picking up my media credential. He goes, great. How much is parking, do you think?
Oh, geez. I'm going to venture to guess $30.
$105.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
So I get to the gate.
Just to pick up your pass.
And I go, $105. And I'm just like handing him my card because I have no other choice.
You can't do anything else.
What am I going to do, drive out of there and then figure out a way to get back again to the convention center?
In a bus, yeah.
I mean, I could, but at that point I hadn't figured out where we were staying, none of that stuff yet.
Yeah.
Carlos had set up the hotel, which is its own adventure, okay? So we go there. I go through. I pick up the credential, which I've been through. I've been credentialed for hundreds of sporting events before. I've seen it all go wrong. I've seen it go smoothly. This one as smooth as possible.
Huh.
I walked in.
Okay.
And because that was Friday afternoon. So by Friday afternoon, I have, they have a lot of media who've already picked up their stuff.
Right, yeah.
And so they're kind of going, well, you're only one of like five or six people. What company are you with? And I said, hey, KSL Sports. She goes, right there, Jeannie, right there. That one right there. That's his. Because it was one of the only ones left still.
If you had shown up on Wednesday, it would have been a little bit more.
There was nobody waiting. Like it was perfectly smooth. And as soon as you walk out, a lady directs you and goes, hey, right over here to the shuttle to the track area. Awesome. I said, well, I kind of need to go to the hotel first. Oh, awesome. The shuttle out there for the media hotel's right over here. Now, I shuttle over to where Carlos was, which was over at the track at this point.
Mm-hmm.
we're a few hours away from qualifying still, but we want to get our bearings at the track. I want to be at the track immediately.
So it's only like it's only like 10 p.m. if qualifying's only a few hours
right.
away.
This must have been like, you know, like 8 or 9, right?
Still yeah. late, so, yeah.
So we're there, but I want to get the whole track. I want to see what's going on. I yeah. want to see the layout of everything. So I take the thing over there. Again, smooth as could be. I walk right out there. The guy goes, going over the track? Awesome. I get on this media shuttle, and I'm the only one on there because everybody else is already over there, or they're going to be there later. So I go over to the track. They put us down in front of this zone. I'm going, oh, boy, how do we get through here? I walk through the ticketing. They take your picture. They take the picture of your credential. They use a black light to make sure it's not a fake credential. And you go through. And I go through. And then Carlos is like, go about a quarter mile up here, and I'm over here to the right. Okay, I'm over in this zone. All right. So I walk over there, and he goes, okay, now look. This is like a massive VIP area upstairs. And upstairs is Sir Jackie Stewart, the virtual stat man, the F1 virtual stat man.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean Young, and he's and Carlos says, I had already texted him and said, hey, let's meet up there. But I'm over at this event up here at this, what the F1 experience is in the F1 lounge, which our credentials decidedly do not let us in.
Right.
We also found out that our media credentials do not allow us in the media center.
What?
That gets you. Now I know you're what you're asking. Why not? Well, because that's for special media.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
Will
like
Bucks
international.
Thing, yeah.
That's the international accreditation. But they didn't. I mean, there were a ton of. I watched a USA Today guy get turned away. Carlos saw somebody from like ABC Sports get turned away, right? Like just like, hey, no, you know, no, you're not, you don't have the special pass, right?
Interesting.
So we go over there and we're like, man. Now, the construction is the first thing that that shocks you. The pit building is not a one-off.
No, that's like their new headquarters, right?
This is purpose built. But when I say it's purpose built, I mean it is as beautiful as any of the giant, huge things that have been in Vegas before. It is a pit building.
Yeah.
It has garages all the way up and down, right? The start finish line is right there, but it also has a tunnel system that goes up and around and over the track and through and everything. Mm-hmm. And it is just a maze, but it is beautiful. And it is not temporary.
Right.
All the people who said this is going to be a one and done effort, no such thing.
Right.
That's the very first thing I recognize. I couldn't believe the infrastructure that was built all around. Vegas is already an insane construction situation all the time. This was an endeavor that I could never imagine how they pulled it off. It's going to take 8 weeks to take it down, Dan.
Really? Yeah.
8 weeks today.
Wow.
Now, part of that is because, I mean, just a million workers doing a million different things. And the track, the layout itself, you find out that if each zone you go to on the track, there's four or five main zones. The main straightaway was called like the East Harmon Zone, like the start-finish areas, like the East Harmon Zone. There's the West Harmon Zone. Each one of those, your ticket gets you into that particular zone only.
Okay.
As media, we were able to go to all of this, like the normal general admission zones.
Cool.
And you see all the concession stands that are all, and everything's in F1 font, by the way. There is an F1 font. You recognize it. You see it, right? And so to see like tater tots written in F1 like font is really funny.
Yeah.
Loaded baked
slightly
potato.
Slightly italicized.
Yeah, blocky. It just has that look, right? And so all the concessions are these black booths that are just lined up in every zone. East Harmon Zone, West Harmon Zone. Those are all the streets, by the way.
Yeah.
Harmon is a street.
Yeah.
Koval is the other zone, North and South Koval Zone, which is where we ended up the first night. Again, in the main area where the general admission is, and then the Magenta Zone, which is where the Sphere is. The Sphere, the Magenta is T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Okay? The Sphere is an insane piece now.
Yeah.
To this strip experience.
I mean, how cool is it, though, that the track goes right around it? And, like, I don't know if you saw, I videos on Twitter, but just, like, the happy face, like, eyeballs tracking each car that went by. How cool is that?
All the stuff they put up. Everything that they put up was insanely cool. You know, there were sometimes it would turn off and do stuff that didn't matter. It was fine. But we were, the seats we ended up, which I'll get to in a second, I walk into these zones, but these concession stands are funny because there's 10 of them in each one of the, and they're all lined up, and they're all the same foods, and they're all the same area. No price is listed.
Okay. Mm.
So you're going, these people are going to walk in there and get hosed, and they don't even know how much they're going to pay.
Yeah.
So it opens up, and we're going, okay, how much is food going to be? Carlos goes, I'm going to go ask him. Because we were there before everybody else because we got in. The media were allowed in earlier than everybody else. So we're walking around, and there's essentially just workers doing last-minute things, whatever. They were kind of giving the last-minute thing to the security, which is a huge amount of people, to the guest services people, which is a huge amount of people, to the concessions people, which is a huge amount of people. Like, everything was a ton of folks set up there. And they're all contracted. They're all this mess. It was insane. The whole thing was wild to see them all over there and to see even the temporary structures, even like the elevators going up to certain temporary grandstands, things like that. It was all insane.
Mm-hmm.
How even just the temporary build stuff was amazing. It was really, really well done.
Yeah.
So then we find out, so Carlos goes up and goes, hey, so how much is the... They're like, well, we don't open till 6, you know, one of these... No, it was the second day. We don't open till 6. Well, how much is it? Oh, it's all free.
What?
Right. So when you buy your ticket, which is a kajillion dollars...
Food's included?
The food is included.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that wasn't the case in Singapore.
Fried peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, geez.
Hot dogs, all this stuff. Everything was free. You just walk up and you grab it. That's all night sick. Long on both nights. Right.
That's
around
so great.
Three or four nights. So all the food's included, and all the drinks, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Lots of drinks. Lots of drinks.
Huh. See, that's why the ticket prices were so high.
Right. So, but the smash cut to us, okay? We walk up, basically, to a VIP situation, because the F1 experiences are, if you've ever looked them up, these are like go around the track stuff. These are like go meet these people.
Yeah, pricey stuff, yeah.
But this is why Sir Jackie Stewart is speaking at it. This is why Crofty was speaking at it. We're between me and you. The 6 feet between me to you is me and Jackie Stewart.
No way.
Me to Crofty, yes.
No way.
We're sitting there watching, listening, because the reason we got in was because Carlos is just like this confident European guy. That's it.
Yeah, he just
he's like, hey, yeah, we're
like,
gonna, I'm just going up here. And the ladies
here.
And people are like, I guess, whatever. They looked at our badges, and they're obviously media badges.
Yeah.
But not including.
I love it. I love
telling
it.
You.
That's so great.
So then you go upstairs to that, and you have the access to be able to hear these interviews with these guys. Will Buxton was up there. The Sat Man was up there. Crofty did a thing right after free practice 3, right before qualifying. He did a thing where he addressed all the people there. He's wearing this sequined suit and everything.
Yeah.
So we get up there and we just realize. And speaking of free food, when I say free food, it's not free because each person there paid between $2,000 and $4,000 a night to be there. Okay.
Jeez.
Filet mignon. Lobster, every dessert you could imagine.
Vegas knows how to do food.
Everything, yes, because it's all catered by this like 2-Michelin-star chef from XYZ place and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And Croft even said, he goes, I've never seen a VIP tent like this. Never seen a VIP tent like this. I'm seeing Instagram influencers that like my wife follows. I have no idea who they are, but I recognize their faces from my wife's phone. They're there, people from all different walks of life, different former NFL players, different. I saw all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. Crazy people just walking around. So that's where we watched qualifying from. But we realized, like I said, it was right at the turn 4. It was right at the front end of the DRS zone, the first DRS zone. But again, you watch them down that straight, and you can look down, and you could see when people were making passes, because there were passes being made at that end of that first DRS zone going into turn 5. And so it was a really cool situation. I had no idea what the speed was like in person. When you film it, it still doesn't do it justice. I'm trying to send it to my kid, being like, look how fast these cars are going. The sound of how loud it is. Everyone, by the way, we were so close to the track that we all had to wear these earplugs, these F1 branded experiences headphones. So we go and we do that whole thing. And we watched qualifying that night from a VIP tent where we probably shouldn't have been.
Fine. Nice.
And I just could not believe how fast everything was going. The track itself and the rate in qualifying. Through FP3, which we watched. I mean, we watched FP3 and then we watched qualifying that night. And we were watching it and we're going, this is going to be a disaster. FP3, everyone's just like, can't get grip. They're trying to figure it out. People are all going into turns and they're just like, nope, I'm bailing out of this. I can't. They couldn't make it.
Yeah.
The cold tires were an issue. The track itself was just, it just was not, it didn't have, it was just too new of a surface.
Yeah.
You know? And so add on to it all those things, everything that was there, the race itself, or you get to qualifying, the qualifying happens, and qualifying was pretty interesting, right? You go, man, you got a couple Williams on row 3.
Right.
You have the Carlos Sainz thing. Now, by the way, when we first got there, the talk of the entire place was, what do you think about what happened Thursday? Because when we got the comments from Toto Wolff, who's going, this is free practice, it's nothing, it's not even the big deal, you know, and you're going, dude, it is, because if it was you, you'd
be pissed.
It was a big deal. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
But you knew also, because the rumblings were that if they would have tried to really try to get the FIA and F1 to change the ruling, like why would we be paying for this, that they were going to have team. There were a handful of teams who would quietly, and some would actually put their name on it, that would quietly protest it.
Yeah.
And those are because, you know, essentially, so you had a torn group because people were like, yeah, that's the other thing is you meet crazy fans, Dan, the entire time. Insane fans from everywhere, right? And you have new fans, and then you have old fans, and you have American fans, and you have European fans, and you have people from all over. the amount of Checo, the amount of Sergio Perez fans from Mexico, insane amount of people.
That's great.
And it was awesome. But they were torn on it because they were like, yeah, but he does get new components. So that's cheating. And then people from Ferrari were like, hey, what? What are you talking about? Like, and so you had this battle about what should have happened. And so being there and watching it and seeing some of these valve covers and everything, you're kind of going, how did they miss these?
Yeah.
There was a part of you that goes, yeah, I see the manhole covers, but how did you miss these? These are giant chunks of iron that are in the ground. And of course, 2 tons of force are going to suck those things up out of the ground. And when you heard the you know, Carlos being like, that hurt, I can't feel my legs for a minute, all that stuff, this is scary stuff.
No, like, yeah, they are very lucky that they didn't hurt Carlos. It went through the floor, it went through the hybrid battery and lodged into the engine block. Like he said, there was a report where he said that he could see the road surface through the bottom of his car.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, they are very lucky they didn't hurt Carlos.
He could have been hurt badly. That was a massive and to hear the guys too commenting on it, they're like, I don't know what happened there, but that looks crazy. It sounds like a transmission thing to me. Sounds like an engine to me. And you're watching it and you're going, that sounds like nothing. That looks like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah, and they didn't get a good angle of it on the broadcast, but like afterwards I saw videos from people that were up and down the strip. It looked like a bomb went off
right.
in his car, you know?
You
it was
see
like
that entire
flares
floor.
Coming out yes. the back of his car. It was
the floor is destroyed
insane.
And you just see the and obviously it dropped down because then that block with the titanium mm-hmm. plate on it is
just
spewing.
It. Yeah.
Is just spewing all those sparks out. So there's that part. The controversy of it was that we were shocked by how few people were in the grandstands for FP3.
Huh.
And even more so for qualifying. Because FP3 I get not everybody's gonna show up to. But I did not understand why we saw probably only 60% filled or 70%
really?
Filled. For at least the grandstand across from us at turn 4 there.
Yeah. Singapore qualifying was standing room only. No, it was literally
yes.
like qualifying at Singapore was so packed as the race.
So we were like, man, what is the race going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And the grandstands were absolutely packed on race day. And I don't know. I mean, I think people did take advantage. I know people personally who took advantage of the fact that their ticket prices went down considerably.
Yeah.
Good grandstand seats, good seats that were able to see good turns, good big corners, things like that, for $700-800,
mm-hmm.
which was, I know it sounds crazy, but that was actually
way
reasonable
less, yeah.
considering what they were charging a few days before. And even, I don't know if you got the email today, but I did
no.
from F1, put your deposit in today
oh,
for Vegas 2024.
Yeah, deposit now.
And I was like, no,
nope,
absolutely not. Because it's crazy. So the race itself. Watching a race in person, even in quote-unquote really good seats...
It's different.
...was hard.
Did you have a screen with
we
the broadcast
did.
That
we,
you could see?
So across the track, they had huge, big screens that they had off to the side
mm-hmm.
that had the action, just like you saw on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They had these weird off-brand commentators who were not great.
The track commentators weren't good at Singapore either.
And,
yeah.
And they were getting guys' names wrong, and they were doing stuff weird, and it kind of just didn't sound great. And we were a little bit annoyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the VIP area where we were, the TVs were up on the F1 broadcast, and like the way I traditionally know how to watch
yeah.
it. And it is its own language to learn. But when you're watching it up on the screen, you kind of know what's going on. But as soon as they pass you, you don't know where they are on the track. When the Lando crash
right.
happened, you're like, oh, where even is that? You know, on the track,
yeah,
you're
trying
to figure
out. Yeah, I don't
even know where it's going on. Because you don't even know where you are in comparison to what you're seeing on the screen.
Yeah, it feels like you're getting like 80% of the information that you would normally get if you're watching it on TV when you're at
even
the track.
Less. For me, it was even less.
Oh,
like
right.
I had a really hard time tracking like what was going on because at some point, when you had people all over the place, unless they were lined up in a virtual safety car and a safety car in the race, when there were all 20 of them or 18 or 19 of them going around at the same time, like right after each other, then a car would go by and be like,
was like
that
who
a-?
Is it? Yeah,
you'd be like, is that? And then by the end of the race, you were like, okay, here comes Max, Charles, and Checo. Like mm-hmm. at the very end, you know when they're going to be coming in front of you, and you know where they're at on the track a little bit. So overall, the experience of watching the race, and I saw somebody actually comment on this afterward. They were like, I just want to let everybody know, F1 is way better to watch on TV than it is in person. And I agree to an extent. The actual part where we want to track the race to the intense level that we like to,
yeah.
which is give me all the onboards. Give me all the. I want to hear what he says. I want to hear what Max says here. We were in a place where we could actually hear Max say his send my regards, you know, to the stewards or whatever. We actually got to hear it because we were in the the second night we got into the same VIP booth because the lady was like, "Oh, you guys,
you guys are back.
And we're like, "Of course we are." But there's
we'll
also
be back
thing,
next year too. There's
like we couldn't believe we were at where we were at. To be honest, I could not believe where we were at.
That's so great.
The amount of the cool, like everybody there was a quadrillionaire, and like we had no business being in this VIP booth. But it was fun because it's a bunch of race fans from across the board, either traditional ones or ones who are pretty new. But there was not a soul in there who was like, "I don't even know what this is," that I could recognize.
Mm-hmm.
They were all there. They had like their teams on. You can tell I'm a little bit hoarse right now. It has nothing to do with like, it wasn't like I was like, "Vamos, Checo," you know, none of that. It's because it's so loud. And Vegas made sure that it wasn't just loud when the race was going on. But inside, everything is like this European.
Bumping.
Yes, everything is like this, like DJ, EDM, or EM. What do they call it? EDM. Just pumping. It's like everything is just super loud, and so you have these earphones in the whole time. And then even when the race is off and the cars aren't driving right by you, you're having to yell to one another like, "Yeah, that was crazy," because everything feels like you're in a club, even when you're outside. Uh-huh. And so from that standpoint, watching the race, watching the whole thing, I will say the people who had general admission tickets, the ones who paid to go and they were in the magenta zone, like right next, the concert that they had right before the race mm-hmm. was phenomenal.
That's great.
It was everybody was packed at this stage right in front of the sphere. The sphere is right behind it. And then they go, and as soon as it's done, everyone walks straight to their seats across the bridge. They pack in. They do the driver's parade, and then the race starts.
Yeah.
And of course, during the driver's parade, Oscar Piastri's car, I think, is what the one that was.
Somebody's.
It leaked everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I say it leaked everywhere, I mean I don't think any car takes that amount of oil.
Yeah, emptied it all.
It was so stupid, and that added to it. That's the entire reason that everybody started to skate around in that first turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're going and they're
made
like
it even worse.
They just.
Yeah.
Any grip that they thought that they were going to have because they started to get
totally
a little bit used
gone.
To it, gone as soon as they go over that oil dry. The oil dry is just, it's better than oil, but it's still like a super fine powder.
Titty litter, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so you saw that, you saw the crashes. I will say, too, the race went super quick. Once Lando's crash happened, once all that stuff went through,
it's over before you know it.
I look up and I was like, oh, my gosh, they're 28 laps in already. But in terms of actual, like, I didn't get to enjoy it. I know how exciting of a race it was, not based of being there. The only thing that was exciting was at the very end when you saw that Checo got passed again and you couldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
And the entirety of Mexico that was there at the race was, I mean, beside themselves.
Huh.
Like, they could not believe it. Like, for a second race in a row,
he got nipped at the very end.
Lap, so.
Yeah, last sector. Dude, that's so great. I'm so glad you guys got to do that.
It was.
That's a lifetimer, like, bucket list type of experience.
It was crazy, but... We give ourselves an A-plus for accommodations during the race. I will give F1 a B-plus on the entire experience while you're there, if you're there.
Okay.
Too much walking around. No way to get from real zone to zone unless you go out and have to go around and take shuttles and all this stuff. But if you have a single ticket of where you need to go, you go to that place, you're kind of stuck there. And
mm-hmm.
it's for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
But the bathroom setups were really, really good. Tons of bathrooms and really actually nice ones.
Hmm.
Nice, portable, crazy. And in the VIP area, we were like, is this a $3,000 a night toilet? I don't know if it is or not. But it was still pretty good. All the things that were there. The emergency services, all the stuff for the fans, really, really, really good. Everything was top notch. I couldn't believe how well everything was done while we were there. The rumblings of people hating it outside of there, I talked to a lot of drivers who were doing the shuttles and stuff, and they were not mm-hmm. that – they were not – they. A lot of them were from out of town. They're like, oh, no, I don't know. I just came in for this.
Huh.
The amount of money that was being made by people – I don't know if you read this today. The Wynn reported that on Saturday night, $700,000 of tips were shared.
Jeez.
The most in the history, the 20-year history
that,
of the Wynn.
That was like amongst the dealers and all that?
Just for the dealers. And so that meant every dealer got a $4,000 tip that night.
Well, I mean, they all want F1 to come back now.
It was
right?
The most in the. So if you think no, it's empty, no one's here, blah blah blah.
No,
I do think that the ticket to entry they missed on because there were enough people that were missing that you went, okay, if we got this thing to, but again, the economy said, the economics of it say, yeah, but if you had 60% and they're all paying between $2,000 and $900 a ticket, then, you know, we kind of won. You still kind of won that thing. So I don't know. It's there were a lot of people there. It was their first race. Talked to a lot of people their first race, like us. And,
yeah,
and,
makes sense.
I give us a D minus on our accommodations because there was a media hotel, and I blame Carlos, and I made fun of him the entire weekend for it because you kind of you can get duped into anything in Vegas, right?
Right.
Online. So instead of staying at this media hotel, which was relatively well priced, and he's like, "Nah, that's I can do better." You know, the European guy in him is like, "I can do better than this." So we stayed at a place very, very close to the track. Still, it was very scary. Like going back to my living in the third world days, kind of scary.
Oh, jeez.
and I'll tell you, we were like, this is
like
weird.
$8.99 all you can eat buffet.
No. Like, I don't even think it had a place to eat.
Oh, really?
Here's what it was. And I told Carlos this. I go, look, he's like, I didn't know this hotel was going to be like this. I said, this is not a hotel. The doors go out to the parking lot. This
it's
is
a motel.
A motel.
Yeah. Like, there's no hallway.
Right.
It's a motel.
No hallway. And now Vegas already sounds like people are fighting. There's police all the time. And so, like, you know, it, in that sense, it sounded like. But again, right outside the Sphere, it was just kind of off strip. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
yeah, off strip.
Very creepy in that sense. And I'm like, we're eating $3,000 filet mignon over here.
And then at night, you're sleeping in.
We're going to this awful. So we could have not. That was the thing is that I've traveled to Vegas enough to know, hey, let's get a little place over. Let's get something that's a little bit closer to over here. And that's the only thing I change is go. Let's stay at the media hotel because it's.
See, I'm glad you got this figured out so that next year we can stay
we
at the
can
media
absolutely.
Hotel.
We go to the media hotel. No, they won't let us in the media center because we're not that good enough at media.
Well, we got a year to build the podcast up. And
I know. And on top of that, like we had the experience that we did. And I will say. By the second day when we were there, it was like, okay, if we would have been here from Wednesday on, we'd have been experts because by the end of the last day,
you had
like,
it figured out.
Okay, we got it because they had a really, really good map. There was an actual purpose-built app just for that day or just for the race.
The race,
just the F1 race in Vegas. It was the Vegas F1 app, right? And you could go on the app and say, and it would knew where you were, and it would say, okay. Where do you want to go? And you could type in anywhere on the track where you wanted to go, to this zone, to this zone, to this zone, and it would give you an exact, like, its own version of Google Maps on how to do it, like, all in F1 font.
They had one of those for Singapore. I wonder if they make them for each race. If
it
they
makes
just,
sense,
yeah.
but I will say that there were times where you were, like, here to, now, where we're at, the Delta Center's right across the street, right? And you go, okay, it's right there. This is a 5.5-minute walk. And they go, no, you got to go 48 minutes around and up,
everything.
And I would take this shuttle. And by the end, we figured out some of the map was wrong. Like, okay, we can go through this area. Okay, we can go over here. It actually makes more sense to go over this bridge versus that. I did definitely see all – we were definitely shooed a million times off of bridges. The poor security guys were kicking
people
like
off
of bridges.
They don't like
hanging out. No, because, it just creates
a problem.
It's
a safety thing, yeah.
It's a safety thing, but it's also, like, it's super weird, like, because – if you are standing on the bridge the whole time, you have a better seat than probably anybody in the whole dang place. So two purposes. Yeah. Don't let people have better views than what they actually paid for. But I didn't see – the F1 store is ridiculous. Never buy anything from it when you're at the actual race. It's just like anything. I
$100
people,
hats.
Don't buy the thing at the Super Bowl. Wait till it's done and buy it on, you know, Fanatics afterward, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got duped into buying, you know, a couple hats or whatever for my kids, and that was about it. But in the end, I'm glad I did it. When you're right in the moment, though, you go, I don't think I'll ever do this again. Like when you're walking down something or when you're going into our creepy hotel.
But you'll forget all about that in 6 months and be like, oh, it was
probably.
So awesome. It was perfect.
So we already know the date of the race next year, don't we? Somebody had said, hey,
369.
Somebody was like, hey, 369 days and we're back again. And I thought, do they already know that? And if that's the case, that's actually further down the line.
I think that's right. I think next year it's like almost in December.
Yeah, I think it
or
is.
It is. It's
might be right up against it because I already got the email
colder.
Today that says put your thing in for the deal this year or this week or what?
Yeah, there's something weird with calendar next year like Abu Dhabi's like
get your 2024
like
access. Get your 2024 access. Now this is the F1 experiences thing again. If you want to go up to where we were at $3,000 a piece per day.
Jeez.
Yeah. You can make a deposit right now. You
love
can do it.
It.
It doesn't actually say the date that I'm seeing, but yeah, they already have it. They already think that they have this thing going. So,
well, it's definitely going to happen for at least the full term of the contract. I think this is a mainstay. I think it's going to become the crown jewel of the U.S. races for sure. But I read an interesting article today that, like, the angle that Formula One themselves, Formula One management's trying to take Twitter, Liberty Media, is this is the new Monaco, because Monaco doesn't race well anymore. The cars are too big. It's too small of a track. And it used to be the place that you would take sponsors to, like, wine and dine and then get them to re-up for the next year. But Formula One wants to move it. They want to own all of that, right? and own that weekend.
The amount of money being spent for that exact purpose is to have the sponsors go, like, to have somebody there and being like, oh, this is so-and-so. He's from my – like, the amount of whining and dining that was going on was insane. Yeah, November 21st through the 23rd of next year.
Okay.
So we're talking that's – I think that's –
it's a week later, yeah.
I don't know if that's Thanksgiving weekend, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
Because what's Thanksgiving?
Is it the third or fourth?
Okay, so the fourth Thursday will actually be the week after. You couldn't do it on a Thanksgiving. You couldn't ask America.
Thanksgiving weekend.
They do it on Thanksgiving weekend. You'd
be kind of sick, though, too. Like, at least watching it at home.
No, I know. Yeah, so in the end, though, it was probably a huge win for F1. I can't imagine. The amount of the money they spent to be there was over $500 million, $540 million to build all
that,
to do
all of
it. It's crazy. They recouped a lot of it this weekend, though.
Yeah. I would say from, like, viewer from home, I'd give it an A-, with the only kind of negative against it was the whole Carlos, you know, fiasco, the valve cover. But aside from that, it was great. The pre-race ceremony was hilarious. Like, the Martin Brundle track walk was an all-timer. It was so awkward. Shaq gave him the shaft.
Right.
Everybody gave him the shaft. Sean White trying to figure out why all of a sudden there's a camera in his face.
Right.
It was so great, like, top to bottom. And anyways, we could go on, and maybe in next week's episode we go into the actual race of it.
Yeah,
but they nailed it. My wife watched an F1 race with me for the first time in a very long time.
Oh, there you go.
You know, she was into it. She's like, she's been to Vegas. She's like seeing celebrities that she knows on it. And it, like, an entertaining race, like 83 passes, I think. It was the second most passes in a race this year. Second only to Zandvoort, which was a wet race. So most passes in a dry race we've had in a season in a very long time. It blew, I think, all expectations out of the water in terms of a great track. So we'll dive into it more next week for sure.
All right, there's your full download of the race. We'll do it again. Well, at least the experience of the race. So we'll talk more about the race actually next week, and then what the rest of the season looks like. So for Dan, I'm Alex. We'll chat with you next time, everybody. It's another edition of Mode Push. We'll see you next time.